Last Word on Today FM.
I'm delighted to know that we're joined by one of Ireland's most successful sporting exports of the 21st century, one of the most successful ever in Australian rules football. Zach Toohey has written his book, The Irish Experiment, from the GAA to the AFL. Thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
How many games did you play down in Australia over how many years?
Yeah, I guess the official count is 288, but you know the way it works there, they don't count the pre-season games. So it's 15 years and a bit over 300 games.
Nobody has had that longevity from Ireland and Australian rules previously, have they?
Yeah, obviously Jim Steins is the one.
The trailblazer.
I'm not actually sure how long he was in the game, but he was up, you know, up around that kind of 300 game mark as well, 260 officially or 264. But no, I've been lucky. Touch wood, I had a really good run with injuries, which is the big one. And then just found myself able to trick them into giving me contract after contract.
I think you're a bit modest there, you say, about tricking people into... When you went out there, how familiar were you with Australian rules?
Reasonably, but not very. So Colin Begley from Laois had been out to Australia a few years before me. So it was kind of on our radar as Laois people, I guess, you know, one of our own had gone out. The international rules was kind of my only exposure as well. Although if you remember the international rules around 06, 07, it wasn't a great advertisement for the sport. But no, I had reasonable familiarity, but certainly didn't know the teams or the rules until I got the phone call, and then I was kind of all in.
And what took you there?
A desperation to be professional, largely. And then I had a kind of a curiosity as to whether or not I could do it. And it was, you know, if nothing else, I would fulfill a lifelong dream of being a professional. Now, that was never AFL. It was never on my mind that that's where it would be. But I was always wanting to be a professional athlete.
But yet in the book, you say in your teenage years, you sort of at times didn't really believe in yourself. But it takes an enormous amount of self-belief to go to Australia. At what age were you?
I was 19 when I moved full time, but I'd been out when I was 17 and 18, I believe, for trials.
But still, to go out as a 19-year-old to the other side of the world, that must be a fair degree of self-belief.
Yeah, my perception, as I touch on in the book, had begun to shift in my later teens, but I was desperately devoid of confidence for a lot of my teens. You know, and people will say now, looking back, that they could see in a young me that there was a very good player. That wasn't how I felt at the time. And there was a period where that started to shift in my own mind, where I kind of felt like I was maybe slightly beginning to excel from my peers. But look, it was nervous, and it's the excitement just overpowered everything. So it's not like there was no nerves, but I was going to Australia to be a professional athlete. Like, if you can't come out of your comfort zone for that, it was probably never going to happen.
And how confident were you that you would make it as a professional, that you'd get more than a year or 2 years?
So I never thought, I'll do this for 15 years. But I can honestly say I don't ever remember thinking it wasn't going to work. I think that sounds a bit like the whole living in the moment thing, but that wasn't a conscious decision. But I genuinely don't ever remember thinking, oh, this is just not going to pan out for me. Now, there was days where, you know, I was dropped to the reserves, which is a level that doesn't even exist anymore. So you question things in those moments, but I genuinely don't ever remember thinking, oh, I'm not sure this is going to pan out for me.
And how do the Australian players take to the Irish lads turning up who actually have no background in the game, who are coming from Gaelic football and who have to learn how to play with a different shaped ball and different rules and different pitches and that type of thing?
They're brilliant. Yeah,
are they welcoming?
They're brilliant. Yeah, they really are. And we're culturally very similar. Socially, we're very similar. Our sense of humour is the same. Like, there's a lot of overlap and extraordinarily welcoming. Now, this is kind of professional sport, so the prospect of somebody coming in and taking a spot that someone else is not like it's new to them. That is kind of the name of the game. But from day one, I instantly fell in with a group of friends. And it never changed. I never didn't have anyone to speak to from, like, you know, an Australian point of view. And I think they take a fair bit of pride in, like, there's a great sense of brotherhood amongst the Aussies, even if it's not with other Aussies.
Just step back again before you left, because you've mentioned already that you really wanted to be a professional. You wanted to live a full-time sport. But if you've been born in a different county, do you think, in Ireland, say if you've been born in Kerry or Dublin, would you have gone, or would you have said, OK, I can't be full-time, but I can win All-Irelands? With no disrespect to Laois, you were never really likely, because of the way our inter-county game is structured, to win an All-Ireland with Laois.
Yep, I think that's exactly right. And I've made this point a few times. I'm an extraordinarily proud Laois man, and I would have loved to have had a long career with Laois. But the truth is, it's the guys who leave Kerry, so say your Mark O'Connors or Oisín Mullen, who left Mayo, like, they are sacrificing, they're likely sacrificing more than I did. And the prospect of winning an All-Ireland with Laois would have weighed heavily on me, and either made it a really tough decision or even draw me back at some stage in my career, as it did with Ty Kennelly, and Martin Clark came back and nearly won one down. But you're right, the reality is that that's never really in my time away been on the cards, but it would have made the decision extremely hard.
Because it's something we don't really talk a lot about here in Ireland, is it? You know, we talk about amateur versus professional in the GAA, but there are so many absolutely brilliant players in both football and hurling who have been denied the opportunity to regularly perform at the top level because, quite simply, they were born in the wrong counties.
Yeah, it's the way the game is set up. And look, it's not exactly apples for apples, but AFL, even when compared to other professional sports, is uniquely set up to allow every team to have their lick of the ice cream at some stage. Now, poor management and you know, that can affect whether or not those teams ever do get to the top, but it's set up to allow it to happen.
In what way is it set up, Jude?
So it's kind of a drafting system.
It's like down, American football,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, a bit like American football, yeah. But probably less finances that can warp the system. You are more, you're more tethered to the system working the way it's meant to, because you don't have the crazy finances that are in American sports. But it's very hard to spend really, really long periods of time right down at the bottom of the AFL table. Now, it happens because, again, poor management can jeopardise those things. And it's exceptionally hard to spend long periods of time at the top. Now, again, teams like Geelong have bucked that trend. They've been really good in their management.
That's your team.
The team I ended up with. Yeah. And Sydney Swans are another one. But outside of that, I can't think of anybody who's remained competitive, say, in the top four for longer than 2 or 3 years.
But that's better for the sport, isn't it? And better for fans' interest in competition, that they feel that their team will have a shot, if not every year, at least some years.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. It's a better spectacle. Probably be a hard sell to clubs that are traditionally very strong if you tried to pitch that in GAA. But yeah, it is. It makes for a better spectacle. And even if you look back at the winners, there's occasionally a generational team that will win a few in a row. But if you look at the list of winners of premierships, it's rarely back-to-back winners. And sometimes you don't see a repeated team for 20 years.
More. And how much better do you think you became as an athlete by being able to be a professional rather than continuing, as many talented players do here in Ireland, as amateurs?
Well, the game here is so professional at the minute that there's not as big a difference as you might think between the Aussie guys doing a full time and the guys based here. Now, there's significant advantages with the facilities being on site, doctors, physios. It does make a huge difference.
And even rest time. Richie Hogan was in here recently about his book, The Kilkenny Hurler. And, you know, he was talking about going off and doing an MBA at night and, you know, going from the house at 6 a.m. and not getting home till 12 p.m. And the immediate thing that struck me is in relation to that, if you're really training hard, as he was, you need your rest, and he was getting none of it.
Significantly jeopardises your recovery. And that's a huge part, and it's a huge part of longevity as well, isn't it? Like, and I always said longevity is the real hallmark of, like, greatness and talent. Guys who can play late into their, you know, 30s, I guess. But that's just so hard to do when you're expected to train like a professional athlete, work a full-time job and maybe study and chase other ambitions. Significantly better, I guess. It's hard to know. I suspect I wouldn't have played as well for as long as if I'd stayed here. But I've spent my entire adult life in Australia now. So I kind of, you know, I consider myself somewhat Aussie-ish in that I'm now married one of them, and it's hard for me to kind of comprehend what life might have panned out like had I stayed.
Who knows? But what do you do now? What do you do when you're a retired AFL footballer?
Just get into media and complain about the current day players and how ungrateful they are and all those things that former players love to do. I do really enjoy the media. I've always enjoyed it. So I'll end up in that industry in some capacity back in Melbourne. But I would love to try and get a few more rounds of golf in. I was expecting to be playing three times a week when I retired. Hasn't happened just yet. But I'll play some golf and then I'll dip into the media world. That's where I want to be.
So your life is going to be in Australia permanently, is it?
For the foreseeable. Yeah, not permanently. The plan was for a long time to move home straight after my career finished. That's kind of changed somewhat recently. I have a couple of kids that are in school out there and, you know, there's a lot of work opportunities for me there that maybe don't exist here. And while I would love to come back here full time, it's not going to happen for the next few years. But I do have a bit of scope to come back more regularly than I have been able to do in the past.
What do they make of coming over here from Australia? Because it's the middle of summer down in Australia and you've been back here where they must be frozen.
My family.
Yeah.
They're smitten. They're just so happy to be around me all the time. It doesn't matter what the weather's like. I'm actually fortunate. My wife does love coming back here. And I will take a couple of weeks of snow if we can get it over Christmas. But I'll even take the cold and the misery just because it doesn't feel very festive having the 20 or 5 or 30 degree Christmas day. So I'm quite happy to be back.
Something else I want to ask you. Do you watch much Gaelic football now?
I got advice early in my career. Satanto Halpine suggested to me that, because I think he missed a couple of All-Irelands with Cork when he first came out.
Yeah.
Round off 4, 5, or 3, or 4.
Yeah.
I'm not sure when they won.
And Cork haven't won a hurling since 05. Right?
This was around that time, yeah. And he said he found it really hard to watch. It made him homesick. And I was the same because Portlaoise were extraordinarily strong at the time. So I actually kind of stopped watching as a means to stop myself from...
Being homesick.
Yeah, to help deal with homesick. And I watch now semi-regularly Portlaoise as often as I can and Laois.
And what do you make of Gaelic football as a game, as a sport now, by comparison to what you've been playing?
There's remarkable similarities, even in the trends of the game. I know the spectacle right now is poor. I think that's probably fair to say. AFL had the exact same issue a number of years ago with the whole flood back defence and the game being a bit dour, a lot of stoppages in AFL, a bit of rolling scrums everywhere. AFL has some benefits because the ground's so big that it's there's always going to be space in AFL. Like no matter how high or how far back a team sits, there is always space. So these trends tend to move a little bit more quickly in AFL, where space is at a premium in GAA and it doesn't quite feel like anybody's figured out how to open it up and make it maybe what it once was.
You're aware of the new rules that have been trialled at present?
Heard of them, yeah, yeah. I think change, again, not an expert, it sounds to me like change is probably required based on what we're hearing. And we're at a point in time where I'm not a big hurling guy, although I respect and love it as a sport, but it's a cracking game to watch right at the minute.
It is.
So by contrast, it's probably making Gaelic football look not even worse than maybe it is.
Listen, congratulations on the book, The Irish Experiment, from the GAA to the AFL. I know Catherine Murphy wrote it with you, but I think Zach Toohey, just from this conversation, I can see why you're going for a career in media down in Australia. I'd say you'll have a great opportunity in being an analyst of games and talking about what's required in the sport. Best wishes to you with it.
Thank you for having me. The Last Word on Today FM.